take a rest.
Thank you. Tonight I'm happy to welcome back to Many Rivers Books and Tea Charles Tack, who is a good friend of Many Rivers, and he's spoken here before. I always enjoy his good spirit, his sense of humor, and his insight. And today he's going to be talking about embodying wisdom. Thank you very much for coming to Many Rivers. It's good to see you again.
Thanks, Tim. Hi. Welcome. I'm looking forward to this talk on embodying wisdom. And what's interesting to me is that we teach what we want to learn. And I realize that my sense of being able to embody my wisdom is pretty small. But I'm trying. Okay, so this is an effort to talk about it and maybe have a conversation with other people who are also trying to embody the wisdom that they might have. My original intent was to... I wanted to have more dialogue with people who were focused on their spiritual path, but in a way that is in the horizontal world, okay? The spiritual world of heaven and earth, but in the horizontal plane, we have to make things work, and we can have all these great aphorisms and sayings about what the right thing to do is, but when it comes down to interacting day to day, how much of that actually gets applied and how much of it actually seems to be right and appropriate. So, feel free to ask questions if you have them or make comments throughout the talk, because it's not, it's much more interesting to me when it's about it, when it's a dialogue and a conversation. Plus, I don't have the answers, and I get nervous when people think I do. That's why I'm sweating. Oh my. I started kind of an alternative, unconventional spiritual path after being Catholic for a bunch of years, and about 20 years ago discovered the I Ching as my and have been studying it ever since, and now give readings on it. But my focus, okay, how many people have never used the I Ching? A couple people. How many people have heard of it but only used it a little bit? Okay, and then, all right. And then how many people are wise and experienced I Ching practitioners? That makes no one in the room. Oh, you are. Oh, good. Would you talk, please? Well, let me give a little bit of a background on the I Ching, and that is that it's... and if you have, if there's other information you can add, feel free to add it. It's over 3,000 years old, and it's kind of, I don't think Christians would like this, or the Chinese, but it's kind of like a Chinese Bible. It's a way to, it's a book of wisdom that the Chinese have developed and used to help divine appropriate actions to take in the world. And it's based on there are 64 hexagrams, and each of the hexagrams, in according to actually Carl Jung, he says those are all the archetypes. He said Carl Jung studied the I Ching and was an avid user of it, and he said all you need to know, all the archetypes are in here, and he was the guy who popularized archetypes. And Confucius said he would love to spend another 50 years on studying the I Ching, because he thought it was just so interesting and nuanced. my interest has been less about the about the esoteric qualities of it than the practice, the practical aspects of how we can use it on a day-to-day basis. Because, you know, you can hear, you know, you can hear pieces of advice that are, on one hand, they're actually the opposite of another piece of advice later. And let me give you some quotes if I can read them. Just, you know, the one, don't cast your pearls before swine. That's from the Bible and Matthew. But then there's one from the Ecclesiastes that says, keep on sowing your seeds, for you never know which one will grow. So which piece of advice is the right one at any given time? I mean, those are two, they're opposites. In the I Ching, when you're actually asking I Ching questions, the I Ching will kind of help you with perhaps leanings in one direction or the other. It's time to hold things close to your vest, or, you know, just spread your seed wherever and see what happens. Good things come to those who wait. That's a good thing on patience, right? An English proverb. But Abraham Lincoln added, the only things that are left are those left by those who don't hustle. Wait. Good things come to those who wait. But the only things left are those... Oh, boy. I quoted this wrong. Lincoln basically said, if you don't hustle, you don't get the good things. So, when you're facing a challenge in life and you don't know where to go, is it appropriate to wait, or do you want to just go grab for the gusto? How do you know where to go? And the I Ching is sometimes a thing that will help you move in one direction or another. So, what does it mean to embody wisdom? Anybody have any sense for that? When I say embodying wisdom, what comes to mind?
Clarity?
Yeah, well, clarity meaning that there's not a whole lot of stuff in the way, and you're just clearer about the appropriate thing to do or say. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're clearer about what to do, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right?
Walking the talk.
What embodying means to me is like being in my body and feeling it in my gut as being right, because there's contradictory advice that can be right at different times, like you're saying. And so I have to judge it with something else than just reason sometimes. And that is my body. It's like there's some wisdom in the body. Mm-hmm. And, you know, get out of the head game of making lists and listen to that.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, Brian. Yeah. And I had, along those same lines, when I started studying the I Ching, after a few years, I realized that you could learn actually the right thing to do, but you don't necessarily do that right thing. But how do you move towards actually doing it? I gave a reading to a client once where he so loved the reading that he left excited, and he was basically asking about using a healer somewhere in the middle part of the country. And when we were done with the reading, he was really clear that he wasn't gonna use this person for lots of various reasons. But it was a good reading. He got so excited about it, he wrote me a really long testimonial about how good the I Ching was and how good the coaching for that was. And I was excited about that and have used the testimonial. But then a month or two later, I said to him, what happened? And he said, oh, I actually used the healer. And it turned out terrible. I paid a lot of money. It and the I Ching was absolutely right. Now, that doesn't mean that the I Ching is right, but what the way I take that is he actually had clarity, but he didn't have the capability to act on that wisdom, because actually what happened was he had a panic attack that hit him, and he said, I just have to do something, and that was the only thing he knew, so he went and did that thing. There's nothing wrong with having done it, but to actually embody wisdom is not only to have clarity, but to have a capacity to act on that. And for me, that's a whole nother bigger step beyond knowing the right thing to do. Yeah, Chen.
It seems to me that one aspect of it is that the body is where we sense, and being in the present is what the body is capable of doing, and so we can experience our world. We can experience life through the body, through the 10 or 12 senses that we have, mm-hmm. in the body, and thus be in right now, whereas the mind loves to go to yesterday and tomorrow.
Right. Where does insight come from? Is it a body thing, or is it a mind thing, or?
Well, the body and mind are one.
Right.
So I think the mind is a lot clearer when we're in touch with what it is we are experiencing.
Right.
And you can feel what is a good way to go. I mean, your example is the man knew where to go, but panicked.
Right.
Which is, I would say, is the mind telling, you know, the hypothalamus to, whoa, you know, we're in
right.
trouble.
Right.
So he ignored the insight of being present with the mind-body connection.
Yeah.
Or not having faith in your own intelligence, your own wisdom.
Right.
Based on your experience.
Right. Right.
That's how I see wisdom, is in a practical way, is having faith in what you've already understood.
Right.
From the past and continuing to apply it, having trust in your own intelligence.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right, one thing I wanted to add was there's this body and the mind. You said the mind is might go elsewhere, but there's this body-mind connection. We can actually have an insight to know something, but to have the faith to stay with it isn't necessarily... Well, it is. It's body, mind and body together. So let's see if these notes have anything more to say about embodying wisdom. Okay, there's one other piece about embodying wisdom, and that I Ching is called the Book of Changes. And embodying wisdom has to do with embodying it and knowing what to do and have an insight to what to do right now. But the reason why the Book of Changes is so helpful is that things are always changing, and how do we cope with those changes? So if today I know that this is the right thing to do, to go north, yay, let's keep proceeding north. But what if tomorrow there's a wisdom that comes that says, let's turn left and go somewhere else? And the I Ching with the hexagrams has something to do with realizing that my my knowing in the moment might shift. Steve?
Yeah, I'm just kind of hanging out with the question. I think what's coming up for me right now is I don't know that I can say what embodying wisdom is for me, but I have a sense for how it happens. And it's... for me, when I have that sense, it's more like a sensibility of wisdom is present here. That it's when I'm willing to ask a question and really sincerely be curious about what the answer might be, and be willing to suspend my ideas or my presuppositions about what the answer is. And there's something about coming to life or the I Ching or going in or whatever you want to say, however you want to do it, with that sincerity that makes it possible for that to happen mm-hmm. when it does happen. And I don't really know what it is, but I know that if I'm able to drop into a kind of curiosity and bring it into what I'm experiencing, that something happens.
Yeah.
And I feel it.
Yeah.
I can feel that, okay, there's something happening yes. here, and oh yeah, that. But I can't really hang my hat on defining it.
Yes. Yeah. And that's, for me, where part of how I'm using the I Ching is to confirm my own intuitions, or to, if I feel like I'm out of it, or to have a sense that maybe I'm actually, think I know what's going on, but I don't. Or I think I'm curious, but I'm actually closed because of my past programming or my thinking, or how my family raised me, or all that stuff. If I bring that curiosity to the I Ching, it can often say, you know, there's an inner conflict going on inside of you. You're just trying to roll it over.
Mm, so, like, look again.
Yeah, to look
again,
right. Right. Or take a break or rest. Or this afternoon I was quite nervous about putting this talk together because I didn't have the whole thing ready. And I'm getting all frenzied in it. And I just, you know, threw the I Ching and it just said, basically, cool your jets. Relax. Take a break. Go do something else for a little while. And breathe and come back.
Well, that's a big one, the breathing.
Seriously. It is.
A real, real big one. Brings you in touch with.
Yeah.
Gives oxygen to the whole
right.
body and expands. You know, you expand in all directions when you breathe and contract in all directions.
Right.
So it's just really a way in.
Yeah.
It reminds me of a piece of advice I got secondhand from my father. He didn't give me much firsthand, but I saw this letter he wrote, you know, many, many years ago. But he quoted Admiral Byrd, I believe, and it was a little teaching story about, you know, having your ship stuck in the Arctic or something. And the point was, sometimes what you need to do is absolutely nothing and wait for the tide to come in. Mm-hmm. Because what you do may create a whole lot of damage. And there are other forces at work. And to be sensitive to that as opposed to some formula, do this, no, don't do that. But the tide comes in, float out. You know?
Yep.
But I know that I can get in an anxious yep. state and just feel like I have to do something.
Right.
You know? Remember me, good.
It's interesting that you say that, because two and a half hours ago, I was not as satisfied with where I was with the talk, but I threw the I Ching in it, and it basically said, any more that you do will tangle the knot even more. Just don't do anything. Wait until the tide comes in. And let that happen. There's a lot, it's interesting, in Chinese there's a lot of waiting in the I Ching. There's a lot of waiting. In contrast to our culture, which is much more of a just do it, well, let's just do it or just power through it. There's a lot more. Wait for that right thing to happen, or for the door to open. Helena.
Well, waiting has been, I can't define, actually what you were saying seemed the closest to what I experienced, but you know, it isn't a deliberate or non-deliberate waiting. But I do want to say that it's like becoming an artist in the performing arts or the visual arts. You're putting in time, you're doing your scales, you're writing, you're painting, you're doing your choreographed steps. The waiting is a solicitation, in a sense, of the grace that yes. you're offering to grace, and so you're showing up giving whatever it is you give because that's what you give. So if you're magnetizing the I Ching, and as you have done for so many years, been drawn to that, then today would be the perfect time, as any performing artist or visual artist would do. You've done 20 years, so the day you perform, you have to surrender mm-hmm. and let grace come, and let the feeling come, so that you can do whatever you need to do, because you are seasoned. You've mm-hmm. been showing up for 20 years. So it'll come oozing out of your pores, so to speak, no matter what.
Is that what's happening now?
Yes. Literally.
Oh. Wise sweat.
What?
Wise sweat.
Wise sweat. There we go. So one of the other pieces for where the I Ching can actually be helpful, it has to do with, you know, we think, some. I mean, how do we know when we're following our intuition versus following a fantasy that we have made up about the situation? Sometimes a reading will help to clarify that what you're doing is being obsessed with a fantasy versus following something important. When I was another thing I studied besides the I Ching is the martial art of Aikido, and in Aikido you're actually looking to embody the universe and flow with the energy of the universe when someone attacks you, and that's the whole practice, is to flow with that universe. And I was totally bumbling and not understanding at all how to learn this. And at one point I was being instructed moment by moment how to do it, and then suddenly my partner fell onto the ground, and I was surprised, and I said, "What did you do? Are you trying to make me look good?" Because it was really it seemed fake. And she said, "Is that what it seemed like?" And I said, "Yeah." And she said, "Well, that's actually real Aikido. When something happens that moves through you, there, you don't even know what's happening." And in my belief around truly embodying wisdom is where you're actually in such a flow where you're doing things without even thinking about it, without even concerning yourself with it. But it still may take 20 years to get to a place like that where you're studying the I Ching or whatever you practice is diligently to the place where you can give it all up and let it go. There's a book, Jim and I decided we're the only two people in all of Sebastopol who know this esoteric book on the I Ching, but on the back of the book it says, read this book, put it down, read this book, put it down for a year, read it again, and then throw it away. And the essence is that we don't really need this if we can get to it. And Course in Miracles is a similar kind of practice where you don't really need that by the time you're through it. So it's a high goal to decide to try to embody wisdom moment by moment, and it takes a lot of practice, in my opinion. But what else are we going to be? What else, you know? What else are we here to do?
I think it takes a lot of practice. Because that sense of self as an integrated part of the universe was wiped away from us as we came out of the womb. The whole effort to make us fit into a culture, this mm-hmm. culture or any culture, is taking away that sense of self and anchor to the earth. And who am I as a unique being? Because every once in a while you meet a kid, you know, like a 7-year-old kid. They say things and you go, oh,
right.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Because somehow they're in the way that they're reared, that connection with body wisdom is not taken away. Or they somehow manage to hold on to it.
Right.
So it takes years, because at that very young age, it's wiped away. And then it takes years to say, well, you know, who was I first? Where am I?
Right. It's returning to an innocence, to that kind of an innocence.
Yeah.
I agree with you. And I'd also add, though, that sometimes wisdom, don't you also think that sometimes wisdom comes only through life experiences that you have to almost live through? I mean, thinking about, imagine an older person who you trust, whose wisdom you trust, and is it possible that they actually had to go through all kinds of things to get to a place where they're wise, because they've been battered about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Brian?
I had a friend in Marin years ago who died. She was 93, named Gertrude. She was the sweetest, most generous person. And when, if I had introduced you, she would have got up and walked across the room at first sight and gone, wonderful you, wonderful, wonderful you. And you would have just been stunned, because that's not how most people say hello, you know. And but that's how she was, and she was just pure love and generosity. And I said to her one day, you must have had great parents. I mean, like, you know, somebody cooked you in a good oven, you know. And she said, oh no. She said, I had horrible. Father beat us. He abandoned my sister and I to an orphanage. It was a Dickens. She told me this Dickens story, mm-hmm. that was real, and it was horrible. And she said, I never jump to judgment when I hear about a child killing a parent, because if I'd had a gun when my father was beating my brother, I'd have killed him. And that's where she came out. And I was stunned, because I'm waiting to hear some Ozzie and Harriet story. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, what well have you been drinking out of? I mean, what? How'd you get from there to here? And her answer was science and mind.
Mm.
At that point, I'd been going to religious science church. So I didn't look familiar. But I was just so stunned when she told me the real story behind it. The meat grinder she came out of, just yeah. turned into such a gem.
Yeah. Yeah, James Hillman actually writes in his very eloquent, inimitable way about how people can actually have wisdom beyond their years from things like the I Ching. He doesn't use the I Ching, but I'm putting that in there. We can have wisdom beyond your years, but you actually haven't you haven't learned it. You haven't embodied it enough to know what you're saying. So Chance, you're talking about an innocence. There's an innocence, but there's also this wisdom that comes through, I believe, a harried life.
But there are many roads.
Right. Right. And this is where the other piece for me around the I Ching is that there's a hexagram number 25, and that's about innocent and going through life and being innocent about what's going on. But then there's other hexagrams where, like number 9, for instance, is about restraint or the power of the small. Anyway, it's about restraining yourself, because the circumstances are not easy. So you're actually, instead of giving everything to trusting the universe, you're holding back because it's not safe. Like, trust in God and tie up your camel. Sometimes there's tying up your camel is the more appropriate.
Charlie, there's something. One of my favorite bumper stickers is one that says, "Don't trust anything you think."
like that.
And I'm just trying that out. I'm thinking of the 7-year-old kid, that maybe a 7-year-old kid doesn't know enough to be so invested in his or her thought that we get swept away into the lack of intelligence that thought can have. But, you know, I'm thinking of I Ching, and when I've used similar kind of oracles or dowsing things or whatever else, most of what brings me to them is that in some way I know that I'm somehow buying into my thoughts about a particular question or issue or whatever else it is. And I know that something like a wisdom oracle or something other than that I don't have control over will reflect to me something other than my hooked in version to whatever the thought is. And to the ability, to the degree that I'm able to not trust what I think, and something else can come through, and that ends up looking, acting, talking like wisdom, but it also is out of my control. Just that bumper sticker, I really enjoy that one. Just a reminder whenever I see it, don't trust anything. Think, oh yeah, thanks.
So when you get pieces of wisdom from another, from an oracle, do you trust that? Or you just open yourself to it?
It either reflects back to me the place where I either am able to recognize where I've hooked into my own thought because of what it's showing me. Or it creates a kind of resonance where the sensibility that I'm having gets heightened or illuminated by what's being reflected back by the oracle. Hmm. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Actually, I didn't get that last. Or what was the second or? For
it either shows me where I'm hooked,
right,
or it accentuates where I'm not hooked that has intelligence to it.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I regarding the latter, it's nice to actually ask someone else, like another person, what they think, who might be wise, or another. In this case, I consider the I Ching like a wise old soul. I'm asking for thoughts and. It could just as easily say, you know, you're right on, as you're full of baloney. And this is why I think you're full of baloney. So, it's not a... I think it's compassionate, but sometimes it's there's some little tough love in there, too. Comments, questions? Yeah, Maya?
I think it's helpful for myself to always ask the question, is there fear here? So that the young man, the person who came to you with the health question, if he could have seen his fear, then he could have danced with that for a while. And, you know, he would have seen it. Going to drive him in the direction of a choice that he ended up regretting, which is okay too. It's a life experience. Just asking, is fear here? So that if I notice I'm trying to come up with an answer, maybe that, chances are there's fear.
Yeah, and in this, you know, it's interesting because in this case he admitted that he was afraid, and part of why he paid for a reading was because he wanted to work through that fear, and he left very clear because he had worked through the fear, but what he didn't have was the ability to have that kind of keep that environment around him as he moved forward when the fear returned. Yeah.
I was wondering if you could refresh my memory as to how you use the I Ching. I mean, is it like if I'm having a question about making a decision. Do I throw some... Years ago, I did this. You throw some dice and you ask it a question and it comes up with something? Or what
yeah,
is the
you,
procedure?
You actually have three coins. And every book will have the description, but you have three coins, or you have yarrow sticks, or some books will tell you about, you can use playing cards, or you can use marbles, you can use all kinds of things, but basically you're asking a question about this circumstance and how to handle that circumstance, and you're using the codified...
It's for you.
It's for you.
Say it by the bell.
Using the card, basically, it has the 64 hexagrams in it.
No, I don't remember much about it. That's what I'm asking.
Right.
I can't remember.
Yeah, well, actually, this talk isn't
about
designed to talk about that in great detail, but.
Okay. That's okay.
Is that enough? Is that,
sure.
Yeah.
Well, forgive me, I'm just running off with this notion that there are many ways to go. The ancients would slaughter a goat and then read the entrails, right? And we read the tea leaves, and we see a crow fly and think, oh, things are going to work out fine. You know, but those are, they stimulate a body wisdom.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like numerology or astrology or all these things. What they do is stimulate the possibility of my connecting with you on
right.
a vibrational, we're part of everything kind of level.
Right.
It doesn't matter whether you're looking at chicken guts or three coins or 64 hexagrams or what.
Right. Well, for me, that's the ideal, is we're actually stimulating that body wisdom and that body knowing.
Yeah.
But what if we actually never had certain kinds of experiences where we don't even know what it feels like? How do we stimulate that?
I don't know. I have a crazy idea that really doesn't matter. That if you're connected with the universe and you put your ego under your hat somewhere, then you and the universe are going to figure things out.
Mm-hmm.
If you keep breathing.
Yeah. You want to respond to that?
Yeah. I think wherever a person is where they'll take it. In other words, it doesn't really matter how advanced they are. It's whatever's right for them where they are is what they will be able to receive. And then beyond that, they won't be able to. They won't see it. They won't perceive it because it's not in their realm of experience. They have words for it.
See, here, what's interesting for me is that you're stimulating in this conversation is there are times when I had this funny feeling in my body that I actually couldn't understand, and I got a little frightened or concerned about it. And it may have actually been appropriate to be frightened or concerned about it, but there were times when a reading that I got said something like, there's hexagram number 14 called possession in great measure. And in that hexagram, you actually are deeply connected to the universe, in your terms, deeply connected to the universe. And you're so humble about it that you're not even aware of that. Well, the feeling of that was new to me, and I didn't know sometimes when I would be like, what the heck is this? And should I be frightened about this? And the answer and what I got was, you might consider the possibility that this is what it feels like to be deeply connected to the universe.
Awe.
But awe and humility,
right.
And actually one of the changing lines says, you're so connected that you should just wink towards heaven because things are going so well. And can we have an awareness of when we're in that place and allow it to be as part of in my opinion, embodying a wisdom of knowing where I am or where the circumstances are. On the other hand, imagine being in a place where you're in let's go to the other extreme, where you're in a gang, and the gang is really hot about doing something, and they're all totally excited, and this groupthink kicks in. And they're all happy about it, and somebody gets murdered, or some car gets stolen, or something happens that they spun off into this place that they had no... It actually didn't fit the... You know, it wasn't in the flow of the universe. It was actually kind of contrary to it, but we flowed with it together. Can we be able to differentiate that? My goal is actually, and part of how I use the I Ching is to differentiate that. Those times when I am flowing, you are flowing, we are connected to the universe, and those times when I'm really just way off. I'm just skewed, but this seems normal, it seems good, I seem pretty happy here. How's that? Much prefer talking with my body.
That was an embodied sense.
Are you an experienced I Ching?
No.
No, okay.
No,
okay.
I mean, I read it, and I mean, okay. And I threw the coins. And,
okay.
No, no. And it's been years. Mm-hmm. I wish I had more to say,
okay.
Don't.
Well, let me see if there's any other bits of embodied wisdom in here.
You could just keep dancing. That would be
Here's another piece that for me seems important in embodying wisdom is as we imagining us being spiritual and seekers and having done studying for a long period of time, what is it you do with that? Most people will teach. You want to teach what you know, and you get to know it better. Teaching it directly is what we can often do. But what if you actually don't want to teach? What if you actually want to have your impact without using words to speak to people? Is it possible that we could, through our embodied sense of ourselves and our embodied wisdom, have an impact on others without words, without speaking, without making even having a conscious connection or conversation? That for me is a higher form of wisdom than the teaching kinds of things. One of my favorite people right now is the Dalai Lama. And in my opinion, the Dalai Lama doesn't say a lot of wise things compared to a lot of other people who have a lot of insightful wisdom and can put words together. But if I've been in his presence once, and of course I've seen him on videos and stuff, but if you he feels so connected that wisdom of his actually has an impact on me without the words that he's saying.
He's practicing his wisdom.
He's practicing. He bowed to 500 of us in just an incredible way. And that for me was embodied wisdom that was taught but through the body rather than anything that people say. Can we actually do that? That for me is part of what embodying wisdom is. In Aikido, I would have partners sometimes who threw me really hard, and I tried to have an impact on them by not saying, "Could you please not throw me so hard?" But try to relax into it so that they actually would throw me a little bit softer. Uh-huh. It didn't work, but I had a lot of opportunity to practice.
So, Charles, is it close to modeling? I mean, are you talking about modeling our own behavior so that others can see us?
You know, What do you think it is? Do you
I
think
don't
that
know.
Is?
I mean, I don't know. I'm asking. That's why I'm saying. Well, is it the way that I can be as I work with others? I'm out in the world and I'm working with others, and the other is not doing exactly what I think is
okay.
completely fair and right. And so, but I can model back what I think is fair and right.
Yeah.
And not get after, you know.
That's what I would say. That's what I would say. You want to respond to that?
Yeah. The word model, for me, it's not about semantics, but for me, there's a separation in there somewhere. In other words, I'm watching myself model as I would put on the costume and walk down the ramp and do the thing. I've tried to use by example, but even then, I'm watching myself doing it. Mm-hmm. When I've practiced for whatever period of time, and then the only thing I can call it, for lack of any other words, because I think it is wordless, is grace.
Mm-hmm.
When grace does me, it's just get out of the way, you know. And
yes.
I feel like the throwing of the coins in the I Ching and all that I do literally is to keep my ego engaged so that I can bypass to the wisdom somehow. The other thing, too, that I have a challenge with on I Ching is the verbs, because my ego apprehends the I Ching and says, take this action, do this by example,
mm-hmm.
and then I present myself as a spiritual being doing this and so on, because we're all actors doing our roles or our parts. So I, to this day, I work with Charles, you know, literally hoping to get at what the action thing is and the waiting thing is. And if I'm thinking about it and if I'm ruminating or whatever, I'm not in it. And I know the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Now I know the difference. But that makes it also a challenge, because knowing the difference, I'm looking for the peak experience.
Right.
My ego is very busy.
Mm-hmm.
So all the verbs that come up in the I Ching, even at some point I'm reading whatever, innocence, for instance, I'm reading innocence and I'm thinking I'm practicing innocence and I'm thinking I'm innocent and how can I be innocent and, you know, how can I do innocence and so on. But then something shifts if you do the I Ching long enough, and I don't know how long that is, but an innocence is me.
Mm-hmm.
Is the I am that I am somehow. So all of this is, I'm thinking about the serenity prayer that says the wisdom to know the difference, and I always scream, who the hell, you know, pardon me, what the fuck, you know, but it's like, I don't get, you know, the wisdom to know the difference, how, and that to me is grace.
That's a grace, yeah.
It isn't something I can do,
mm-hmm.
that's
mm-hmm.
all. And so I'm constantly conferring with Charles. It said I should do this like this man, you know, don't go and don't do this and don't, you know, and so forth. And then the ego is the actor. It wants to do something. And often I wait way beyond the point, you know, to stagnation almost.
Right.
Uh-huh. Just to see.
Right. And then there's the, and then because the I Ching is about balancing polarities,
right.
It also has times where it says jump in, and as a matter of fact, if you don't jump in now, you're going to miss it.
Mm-hmm.
Jump in right now. The door's closing. Jump in right now. So there's a lot more waiting in relative to our culture,
because
our culture is so
yeah.
just do it oriented.
Right.
I would say that the, thank you for saying that, Helena, that we try to tell people how to be, then we try to model it, and then there's this place that's beyond the modeling where we're actually being in a way that people have such a sense of it that they may see it if they're aware, or they may just get it, you know, that they got it, or the effect happened.
Mm-hmm.
Any last questions or comments? I would just like to say that this last little piece is on what part of why I like the wisdom of the I Ching is that it does have, it is focused on balancing yin and yang, male and female, left and right, good and bad, black and white, to a point where you can actually integrate those pieces. But in life, life is about duality in this level. So there is a time when left is appropriate and there is a time when right is appropriate. So with that, I would just like to say thanks for coming. And if anyone is interested in continuing the dialogue, I'm with a group of people. I'm going to probably start a Monday night or every other Monday night thing here in Sebastopol. And you could sign up. Put your name and phone number on what Steve has, that yellow sheet. Even if you know I have it. So, anyway, Jim.